Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Good morning. How you doing? 10 minutes after five. I think I'm recovered from yesterday. We were talking to that doctor, the sleep expert, and he was pointing out that your nap should really be no more than 10 minutes for optimum health. So I decided to try that yesterday. The only problem, I felt like taking that nap as I was driving home yesterday. I don't know what happened. I had tea yesterday, and supposedly it was a very high-caffeine tea. But for some reason, about 10:30, 10:45, I'm driving home, and I'm falling asleep. So I went to Foodstuffs because my wife likes the tuna salad at Foodstuffs. And before I got out of the car to get into the store, I decided to take a little nap. In the
this
car.
Is what oh, I
Mary,
do,
Mary, you found your kindred
Yay!
Spirit
yeah.
here.
Welcome to the club.
Mary sleeps in the car all the time, Bob.
It's
nice in there.
My pillow travel pillow.
Oh, I don't need any
car.
Pillows. I just hit recline.
I pull into the driveway.
Sometimes I listen to the radio. Anyway, so I'm sleeping for about 5 minutes or so. Then I 10 minutes.
That's
and
all
I
you
thought,
need.
That's it. Okay, I'm fine now. So I go in and buy the tuna salad, and I had also had an apple yesterday during the morning, so I thought I was really in good shape with my tea and my apple. But then when I got home, I felt awful. I was running some errands, and I didn't take another nap. But I just by 6 or 7 o'clock last night, I felt like. And I never want to go to sleep early, but last night I did feel like it. I don't know what was the matter with me last night.
You got to work out too. You got to throw that in there because that'll wake you up.
Yeah, I know that is what was missing yesterday.
Yes, you do that after the nap, or Dave usually does it right after work, don't you, Dave? Workout.
I do. I'll either do that here or then late afternoon before dinner. But then yeah. I don't have as much energy.
Yeah, me either.
But it's going to take, I think, another week or two for me to figure out what I need to do, how to do this. So far, the jury is out.
There's no great way.
Sure.
It's just whatever.
Yeah.
Every day's different.
Yeah. You never really get used to it. You get used to feeling sick. And that I remember that's what happened the last time I worked these hours regularly, which was when Marianne and I were doing Fox Thing in the morning. But that show didn't start till 7.
That's late. That's like lunchtime.
Yeah. And now they start all these television programs in the morning at 4 o'clock. So, well, that's my story. What's yours? We'll find out. We'll get to the first caller in a second here. Big day in Washington, and taking a look at what's coming up from WGN-TV. Let's say good morning to Nancy Liu. How you doing, Nancy?
I'm great. How are you doing, Bob? This is my first time working with you. It's awesome.
Well, you can now add that to your resume, which will impress nobody, by the way.
Not true.
So a big vote scheduled for later today.
There is so much to track of what's going on in Washington. As you know, the House, major vote today on those articles of impeachment. And, of course, it's expected to pass, and then there's going to be a lot of pomp and circumstance going on in the Capitol, because once these articles are approved, they are actually physically carried over through the rotunda to the Senate, and it's a single-file procession from what I'm reading, and then the Senate has a lot of pomp and circumstance that will happen there as well. The Majority Leader McConnell has said that, you know, the Chief Justice, John Roberts, will be sworn in to preside over this Senate impeachment trial of President Trump, and then all of the senators will be sworn in. So there's a lot of ceremony that's going to happen today in Washington.
So then Thursday, the Senate is expected to sort of transform into an impeachment court. And that could be as early as tomorrow, right?
Exactly. But, you know, both the Republicans, the Democrats, they're still jockeying and trying to work out the parameters of this impeachment trial. As you know, there's a huge barrier about witnesses. The Democrats want to call witnesses. The Republicans are hoping to prevent that, although many Republicans are now saying they are willing to hear from witnesses. And the Democrats have made clear they want to hear from Bolton. They want to hear from Mulvaney. And Republicans are saying, hey, if we hear from them, then we should also hear from Hunter Biden. So a lot of jockeying going on still about the rules of a Senate trial and whether it's going to include witnesses.
We'll keep an eye on that. And what else is on your beat today? Do you know yet, Nancy?
Other than that, no. You know, I'm on the breaking news beat here in Chicago as well, as I'm keeping my eye on what's going on in Washington. But gosh, what a time in our nation's history. This will be only the third such impeachment trial for a president in our country's history. So there is a lot to watch in Washington, and it's just going to be fascinating to see as this all unfolds today.
Lots of comparisons to Watergate, but I'll tell you something. I remember during Watergate being glued to the television, watching the hearings and John Dean and all the developments and the revelation of the recordings by President Nixon. And I don't remember glazing over as much as I have during this process when you're
right.
watching
I,
everything
I
that's going on. This seems a little less dramatic to me.
Right. And I wonder, Bob, if it's because our society today, we are so torn, because back then we had television, we had radio, and now we have our phones, and everyone's distracted by social media, by their lives. There are so many more tracks mm-hmm. for people to have their attention on. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, you know, how this trial is going to play out and what the country's interest in it will be. That will be interesting to see.
Yeah. It seems to me during Watergate, there was less of the grandstanding, the political grandstanding on both sides that there is now.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that has something to
yeah.
do with the fact that it's sometimes hard to keep watching this. All right. Well, thanks for the update. Have a good
You're
day.
So
good
welcome.
Talking to you, Nancy.
You too, and I'll talk to you soon.
Yep, 5:23. Bye-bye. Here's our first caller of the day. That would be you, Rich, in Beach Park, Illinois. Good morning, Rich.
Good morning, Bob. How you doing, sir?
Congratulations. You are the first caller on the air. That means you win a prize. And what are you doing up at this hour?
Doing a garbage route. I'm up here in Waukegan, Beach Park, Winthrop Harbor, Kenosha.
And you're on the job already. Any freezing rain to report up there yet?
No, none at all. It's pretty nice up this way. Nice and calm winds. It's not bad, Bob. Congratulations on your new gig, sir.
Oh, thank you very much. Appreciate that. And let's talk a little bit about your job. I enjoy working with I call them the G-men in the neighborhood, the garbage men. And you talk to them about what's going on. They know everything. And they've told me in the past that some people run in the house and hide when you guys come by. Is that true?
On a residential route? Yeah, I've experienced that. They'll peek out the curtains and, hey, they're probably thinking, did they take that? Oh, yeah, they took it, you know. This and that, yeah.
But you work commercial stuff, huh?
Yeah, I do businesses and, big factories, warehouses and stuff like that.
All right. And maybe you know the answer to this question. Well, good for you. I always get confused about what you're supposed to put in the recycling and what you're not supposed to put in the recycling. What's the biggest mistake we make in that department? You would know.
People put, like, motor oil and batteries and, you know, stuff like that. They got to take that to a local, you know, auto shop or something, and they'll dispose of it, you know, the right way. Other than that, you know, it's been people, you know, they're learning. They're doing a better job than they used to.
And are you supposed to put the pizza boxes with the grease stains in the recycling or not?
See, some, you know, if you put them in the garbage, that's good, but they're not supposed to go in the recycling. Because of the grease and stuff like that. Food, you know.
Well, Rich, you sound like a good guy. I want to give you your choice of prizes. How's that? You can either get the desktop indoor weather station that we've been giving away, or you can get some tickets for the Granite Peak ski area at Rib Mountain State Park in the heart of Wisconsin. Which would you like?
We'll go with number one there. I could always use that. That would be good in my wheelhouse.
Okay, American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling provides the desktop indoor weather station. They are the 60-Minute Men. Go to AmericanWeathermakers.com. We'll get that out to you. Hang on, we'll get the information. Rich, you have a good day. Appreciate you calling and listening. Good talking to you.
Thanks, Bob. You too as well. Congratulations, sir.
All right, thank you, sir. 5:26, and as we mentioned, we'll be on Weather Watch this morning, because we're expecting some freezing drizzle coming in, and we'll keep an eye on that. That's the big story of the morning for commuters, I think. And a little later on today on the broadcast, we'll talk legal matters with Karen Conte, and extremely local news coming up after 7 today with our friends from Block Club Chicago. The Daily Mail TV correspondent Alicia Quarles will update us on entertainment after 8. And then our relationship expert, Bella Gandhi, will be here. If anyone has any love problems or dating issues, we'll get to that before we get out of here today at 9 o'clock, 5:27 right now. Hey, Dave, this kid, Kubalik, he's a star for the Blackhawks, isn't he?
He's becoming one. Yeah, he's got the most goals of any rookie in the National Hockey League. Two more last night, though one of them looked like it was going to be Patrick Kane's goal, but Kubalik got the credit for it. So Dominic Kubalik has scored goals in 5 straight games. He's got points in 6 straight. He's got 18 goals. And the Blackhawks got a much-needed win against a team they're supposed to beat on the road.
Yeah, and I'm reading about Corey Crawford and the fact that he is really the number 2 guy in goal right now.
I mean, it's kind of evolved that way with Robin Leonard playing so well. And but I would think we'll see Crawford tonight in Montreal. It's his hometown.
He always plays there. Right?
Always plays well against Montreal.
Yeah. And so what's the deal with him after this year? It's a question mark?
I think it is. I think the Blackhawks he's one of the decisions they have to make heading into the offseason. But Robin Leonard also is here on a one-year deal. So are they going to keep him? Do they feel like... Yeah, you know, I think they're not going to get rid of both those guys or let both those guys leave. So I think that would be the question going into the off season,
and
among others.
There's a few. We'll see how the season plays out. The Boston Red Sox lost their manager now. What's next?
Well, probably punishment for Boston, too, coming out of this, just as we saw Houston get whacked the other day. We'll see what happens with the Red Sox. And it's interesting now because, and you mentioned yesterday, Bob, another name that popped up in all this was Carlos Beltran.
Yeah.
Who's now the manager of the Mets. And now he was a player. But the Cubs also, I think, were going to interview him for the managerial job, and he declined to interview for that position when they hired David Ross. So, you know, sometimes be careful what you wish for, right? Because you want to steer clear of that whole mess. But it'll be interesting to see what happens with Boston. Do they get punished? And also, with that being the case, how are Houston and Boston going to fill those vacancies? You know, spring training's just a few weeks away. So yeah, it's kind of late to be out hunting for a new skipper.
Yeah, and for sure in Houston and in Boston, garbage cans will be banned from now on. There's just no question about it. If you're getting ready for your morning run, this is good news. There's a new study out about actually marathon running and how it actually may be good for your knees. How about that? A myth-toppling new study of novice middle-aged runners suggests that the answer to the question, is marathon running actually good for your knees, is a qualified yes. The study finds that taking up distance running rebuilds the health of certain essential components of middle-aged knees, even if the joints start off somewhat tattered and worn. But the results also contain a caution. Marathon mileage could erode one vulnerable area within the knee, according to the study, if you're not careful. So this has always been a concern of mine. I talked about this the other day, but I see these marathons and I watch the end and everybody's collapsing, and then later they're talking about having their knees replaced. So that's my excuse for only running 3 miles and a half hour a couple times a week.
And we want to keep using that excuse too.
I know.
Heck with that study.
I know. Let's see, story in the New York Times on this today. Little of the available research about knees in motion supports the idea that marathon running is bad for the knees. Most past experiments indicate that running generally is not harmful for healthy knees. In one much-cited study, elderly runners actually developed knee arthritis at lower rates than sedentary people. And in another more recent study, young people's knees grew less inflamed after a run than after a long stretch of sitting. How about that? So, news out of New York, I guess, today. Study of novice middle-aged runners finding that distance running can help rebuild the health of certain essential components of the knees, even if the joints are somewhat worn out. How about that? 5:42, and I see that the weather is going to change, get a little messy towards 9, and then very cold starting tonight. I've got a new trick to sort of fight the dry weather. I don't know about your dishwasher, but ours gets really, really hot, and if you open it immediately after the cycle is done, a steam comes out. So I've been sticking my face in the in there. A great humidity.
Clears out your sinuses. Fogs up your glasses, though, Bob.
You're going to need a lot of moisturizer, though, after that.
Yeah. So the dishwasher, you know, who knew? But it could be a helpful helpful item in the wintertime. Agribusiness news update time. Let's say good morning to Orion Samuelson. How are you doing, Orion?
Good morning to Bob Surratt.
How are
Greetings
you today?
From WGN West.
Yeah, you're out enjoying what we hope is some dry, warm weather.
No freezing rain in the forecast in Scottsdale, Arizona this morning, but it is 46 degrees, and for the desert, that's a little bit on the cool side.
But you'll
I'll
warm
take
up.
What we've got.
Yeah, you'll warm up later today. What's going on?
Well, a lot's been going on this week. First of all, the resignation of our Director of Agriculture in Illinois, John Sullivan, over an email that was written back in 2012. I haven't gotten into the details, but I've known John Sullivan since he was a senator, and his job is selling farm real estate and doing auctions and that type of thing. And then he became director of agriculture, and I was pleased because he understands agriculture and policy and all that sort of thing. So it was a shock to me, and I think to a lot of other farmers in Illinois that I've been hearing from by email who expressed their surprise, and so far haven't seen any indication of names that are being considered to replace John Sullivan. So that came as a surprise. And then, of course, today is the day that finally we're supposed to get a signature on phase one of the U.S.-China trade agreement. That's supposed to happen in the White House later today. The officials from China are here for the signing of phase one. But the question still remains, how much difference will it make to selling agricultural products to China, particularly soybeans and pork, because they have a big holiday coming up on January 25th. It's the Lunar New Year's holiday. And the main entree on the dinner parties and family events they'll be having is pork. And, of course, the country of China is the biggest producer of pork and the biggest consumer of pork in the world. It's part of that Chinese menu, particularly for the Lunar New Year's holiday. And because of the African swine fever that wiped out nearly half of the pig population in China, prices, the retail price, up 80%. And the government is taking steps to try to sort of calm that price situation down. But it's going to be interesting to see when we get the agreement of phase one signed, whether or not they'll be importing a lot more pork and more soybeans from the United States. So we again point out agriculture is no longer Midwest or Southern or far Western United States. It's a world event and a world market, and it keeps you, I hope, sharp if you're a marketer and a producer of agricultural products.
Yeah, it's a global economy. And I take it, Orion, no Impossible Burger plant-based pork for you, right?
Not on my menu. There will, if I want plant-based, I'll go to the produce counter and get vegetables and that sort of thing. But no, when you take a look at all of the ingredients in that, what I call laboratory meat or fake meat, whatever you want to call it, but when you look at the ingredients as opposed to what's in the ingredients of beef or pork, I mean, you're eating a lot of different stuff in that impossible meat thing. So it will be impossible to have it on my dinner plate, but a lot of people are doing it, and I'm glad we have the choice. That's good, but you better take a look at really what you're eating.
Yeah, that's what Marianne says to me all the time. So I guess she's on to something. And talking about ingredients, you heard the story about McDonald's. They're trying to make a fried chicken sandwich that better competes with Chick-fil-A, and so they're now going to add MSG to their recipe. What can you tell us about MSG? Is it something that's, I mean, some people say it's bad for you, some people say it's really like salt, nothing to worry about. Where do you stand on that?
Well, I remember when it was introduced years ago, and particularly in Chinese food and that type of thing, and people did have a reaction to it, but I'm not enough of a doctor to know what kind of a reaction, but I think some of the symptoms that you mentioned in the story were occurring, and they pulled MSG off the market, but now it's coming back, so... I have always been concerned about all of the studies that we do in this country and who pays for them and how biased they are. But I think MSG could be a concern for, quite a few people. So I am not enough of a health specialist to really know, but I know I don't have it in my menu.
And do you want to just announce it right here, make it official that you're throwing your hat in the ring to be the new Department of Agriculture Director here in Illinois, Orion?
No, I don't. No, because there are so many more people in Illinois who would have more experience at some of the politics involved than I would. And so, no hat in the ring from me.
All right. Well, listen, always good to talk to you. Have a good day out there.
And you do the same. Look out for that freezing rain.
We will. We've got an update on that coming up in less than 5 minutes right here. One of the familiar smells around Chicago comes from Blummer Chocolate at 600 West Kinsey Street. And you may have heard that they're shutting down their store to expand the factory. But not to worry. We did dig into this. And you'll still be smelling the chocolate. Blummer Chocolate is going to shut down its factory front sweet shop next month to make room for an expansion of the manufacturing facility on West Kinsey. They say that in the coming year, they'll begin updating and refreshing their Chicago facility, including several enhancements in and around the plant. The Blummer store that is open to the public, I don't know if you've ever been in there. I went in there a couple times to buy some chocolates. They're going to close beginning February 28th. Interesting business founded by Henry Blummer Sr. and two brothers back in 1939. The 270,000 square foot factory has sent cocoa scents wafting downtown for generations, and that smell carries most notably on summer days, but you can still smell it this time of year. Blummer is the biggest industrial chocolate manufacturer on the continent, third largest in the world. They employ about 900 people across North America and China. That family-owned business was sold for $750 million a couple of years ago to a Japanese company, but it is still run by Pete Blummer. 5:55 now, and let's get some numbers. Steve Grzanich in the newsroom with our market outlook for this day, which is Wednesday, January 15th. Steve?
Thanks, Bob. Sponsored by Associated Bank. As we look at global stock markets that are mostly lower today, Asia suffering the sharpest losses, we look at some things on the schedule today that might move the needle in the opposite direction. Producer prices for December will be out this morning. Analysts are forecasting a modest increase. The experts see last month's producer prices coming in at 0.2% higher than November. Also today, the Mortgage Bankers Association gives us a weekly look at mortgage applications. The Empire State Manufacturing Survey is out, the EIA Petroleum Status Report, also the Beige Book today. On the earnings calendar, Bank of America, BlackRock, and Goldman Sachs all reporting quarterly earnings. So a few things that could move the markets on this Wednesday, January the 15th.
Coming attractions here, the most expensive zip codes in the Chicago area. We'll talk about that. Also, a possible State Street makeover. And I don't know whether you're going to want to hear this or not. I'll give you a warning in case you don't. But we'll go over the list of the germiest, dirtiest spots in a hotel room. Areas to definitely avoid.
Yeah, thanks.
You
thanks.
Can guess a few of them. Right?
Yeah, have a couple of them
there's
figured
a couple,
out.
There's a couple of surprises, though. That's coming.
Don't touch the remote.
Yeah, that for sure. Welcome to the world on this Wednesday, January 15th. Just about 11 minutes after 6 o'clock. I was very upset to hear about this yesterday, very saddened to learn of the passing of a guy who was a great friend to radio in Chicago, a great friend to any music lover. Ron Smith passed away at the very young age of 66. He wrote all sorts of books about music. Most recently, I think the book was called 8 Days a Week. And he was also famous for writing books about Chicago's top 40 charts from the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, and the 90s. He wrote a lot about the old LS and CFL music lists. And, you know, it's funny, with social media, I would communicate with Ron now and then. And along the way, I guess I ran into him somewhere. But you have these Facebook friends, and and then, you know, in the case of Ron Smith, when I learned that he passed away, I thought, why didn't I make more of an effort to get together with him? Because I just had the feeling that we were communicating on social media, and, you know, I just didn't push the relationship, and I wish I did. He was really, really a good guy. For a long time, he was programming oldies music on the radio. He worked for the old WJMK and then Real Oldies on AM for a while. And I just heard about this yesterday, and I just wanted to mention something about Ron. Really good guy, really, really knowledgeable guy on music, and more than that, a real fan of Chicago music and Chicago radio. And he also turned out to be quite the pioneer in the internet radio world. He was programming channels for an organization called Slacker.com that played 50s and 60s hits. So our best wishes to Ron's family. Very, very sad to hear about that.
Good morning.
Now the top six at six with Bob Saras on WGN Radio.
Oh, there we go. We're keeping an eye on the weather today. That would be our top story. And the latest is we are under a winter weather advisory. It's in effect for Cook County. It started earlier this morning. That commute eventually can be rough, particularly if you're driving in from the west and north. This freezing rain blast the area, the first of two storm systems expected this week, moving through northern Illinois. And the National Weather Service says the storm systems began a little earlier this morning. They could last for a few hours. We're going to get an update on that momentarily and find out just exactly what time the messiest weather will be here and what time the extreme cold will be here. In the meantime, should we move on to the other stories in
the
top
six? Thank you for making us your choice for news.
Okay. Third-party retailers on Amazon will be able to use FedEx Ground Services to deliver items ordered by Amazon Prime customers. The company had originally forbidden third-party vendors from using the delivery option in December, citing concerns about the performance of the FedEx Ground Service during the busy holiday season. An Amazon spokesperson says the decision to reinstate FedEx Ground as a delivery option was the result of more consistent service and reliable on-time deliveries during the banned period.
That's it for the CBS 2 News at 10.
Uh-huh. While the Obama Presidential Center has stalled due to a long-running federal review of the project in Jackson Park, fundraising continued yesterday with Nike pledging $5 million towards construction of an athletic conference center on the campus. So that's the update on that. A revised draft report on the assessment of effects of the Obama Center will be posted by the City of Chicago tomorrow, with the parties involved invited to a briefing webinar that will be coming up on January 23rd.
Thanks for joining us here at 9 o'clock.
State Street could be getting a makeover. Downtown business group, the Chicago Loop Alliance, has hired a design firm to recommend changes. A sample of topics that are up for discussion in the next coming months are the old-fashioned lampposts and ornate street-level entrances to CTA Red Line trains. Still a good look? Yeah, why not? You've been down there lately? Nothing out of date about that. Would dedicated bicycle and bus lanes be a good idea? Members of the public also who want to keep tabs on the report's progress and learn how they can weigh in could go to loopchicago.com/State Street. Remember years ago that disaster when they mauled State Street? And yeah. it turned into a ghost town because there were no cars and then nobody came down State Street. I mean, you don't want that.
No, that's not a good option.
I like the look of it, though. I don't know why we need to spend more money on State Street, because I mean, maybe the merchants feel like they've got to get something going to compete with North Michigan Avenue, I guess.
Yeah, but you're right, though. It's really actually pretty nice.
It is. Yeah. Okay. No problem there.
Thanks for joining us. Jimmy Kimmel up next.
For the first time in 25 years, wine consumption has declined, falling in the last year by nearly 1% in volume, according to Global Alcohol Tracker.
I don't believe that.
WSR Drinks Market Analysis. Well, maybe they're not polling broadcast operations.
I think it's because everybody's drinking White Claw now.
Yes.
The new rage.
Yes, they are. People were drinking more whiskey, vodka, rum, tequila, and gin, up 2.3%. over last year. And I know the keto diet is very big, and apparently if you're on keto, you can drink tequila, not wine. So,
what?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. I don't know why. I don't ask me for details on that, but
wow.
That is true.
Remember when the movie Sideways came out?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that probably helped really trigger greater wine consumption for several years.
I'm sure you're right.
Made it look like a science.
And then the health studies, too, about red wine.
Right? Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Good for the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And now all the craft beer. That's kind of going away, though.
What, the craft beer?
I don't know. I've noticed some decline in some.
Well, we did have that story the other day that that business has kind of peaked.
I mean, that's true. But Mary,
yeah, that means it's going to go down if it peaks.
As I've said many times, don't ask me about fine wines or French restaurants. But if you want to know about the best milkshakes in town, phosphates, hot dog joints, then come to me. But I am one of those guys. You know how alcohol tasted to you when you were like a little kid and maybe you tasted your dad's drink and you wanted to spit it out? Those taste buds in my mouth have never changed. I still have that. So, I mean, people think when I don't drink, oh, Bob's being healthy or he's very anti-alcohol. It's not. I just don't like it. So, you know, I'll stick to my Yahoo and KO. And
but you really don't go to order phosphates, do you?
Phosphates or egg creams? Oh, yeah. I love a good one. It's got to be very bubbly. It's got to have ice in it. It's got to be mixed right. Well, no. It's a chocolate syrup. Chocolate syrup, carbonated water, and 2 fingers of milk.
Wow. He knows the recipe.
Did you say KO or kale?
Oh, no, KO, please. Okay. KO.
Please, okay. Dave.
No KO
Leave
for
the
me.
Kale for me.
Before we close up the top six at
Have
6.
Have a great night. We'll see you soon.
Bye.
We'll get back to our top story, which is the weather. And let's get a check on what's going on at the WGN Weather Center. Mike, what can you tell us? Nope, let me turn on your microphone here. Hold on 1 second. There you go.
Here I go. We have a winter weather advisory now in effect until noon. Freezing drizzle potential here this morning, so watch out for some slick roadways and sidewalks. We should start to dry things out this afternoon. A lot of cloud cover, though. Highs in the mid-30s there. Colder tomorrow. Highs only in the mid-20s. Then Friday afternoon, a return of some light snow, turning into a wintry mix for the evening hours and carrying over into Saturday. Snow, rain, ice, all that potential. And then much colder as we wrap up the weekend. Highs only in the upper teens on Sunday, low to mid 20s for Monday and Tuesday of next week.
Okay, Mike Jansen, now I'm not going to let you off that easy. I need some exact times here. What time will the freezing rain be in the Chicago area?
Freezing drizzle here this morning may reach downtown by about 8 o'clock.
And that's this morning we're talking about. And what time will the real cold be in the Chicago area?
Well, it's going to be cold tonight as we drop into the teens. Real cold Sunday morning. We're down to around 12. And then Monday, how about we start out around 9 degrees?
But as far as temperatures in the teens, that's going to be well after the dinner time?
Yes.
Okay.
Overnight.
All right. No further questions,
okay.
Mike.
Thanks.
Appreciate that update from the WGN Weather Center. And coming up, we will talk legal issues with Karen Conti and a lot to discuss here, including the latest in the Harvey Weinstein case and also the case here in the city of Chicago regarding Laquan McDonald. We'll get to that and more with her. And I promised I would mention the dirtiest places in hotel rooms. Yeah, we'll go over that list. And also, unfortunately, we have also found the places to avoid in the gym. So we'll remind you. We'll remind you about that.
You just are full of good news today.
Yeah. So make sure your breakfast is completed in the next 15 minutes or so before we get to that.
And you have plenty of Clorox wipes wherever you go.
Yep. And I did bathe in Purell before I got in this morning. They're going to announce the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame class of 2020 today. I think that comes out in about a half hour or so. So we'll be passing that information along to you as we go along as well.
And that's the way it is.
This has been the Top 6 at 6 with Bob Sarat on WGN Radio. Good
day. That strange glowing fireball in the sky that you saw yesterday afternoon was the sun. We have confirmed that. You wanted some good news? Here's some good news. And I noticed this yesterday because it wasn't cloudy. It was still light at around 5 o'clock. Were you aware of that yesterday? How about that? See? The worst is over. It's coming.
I've been noticing it the last couple of days. It's nice.
Yeah. And I was standing outside by my car just soaking up that sunshine vitamin D yesterday, and it was, you know, it's kind of sad, isn't it?
Yeah, was this before or after your nap at the car?
It was just when I woke up. Thank you. And Sunday nights on WGN Radio, you hear Karen Conte, attorney at Conte Law, and you also hear on the morning show. Good morning, Karen. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Bob. Doing well.
Let's talk first about the Supreme Court and their refusal to free the nipple. What's the story of this case?
Well, it was an interesting case that came down out of New Hampshire. Three women were charged with going topless, which is illegal in New Hampshire, and they brought the case all the way up to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court decided not to take the case. And Supreme Court really takes very, very few cases, probably less than 1% of all the cases that come before it. And so what we get from this is that, yes, you can make a different rule for women and men. Apparently in New Hampshire, nudity means toplessness for women, but it doesn't mean that for men, and that's okay, and that's not gender discrimination.
Did it surprise you that the Supreme Court refused to hear this?
You know, I think they should have heard it, because it is an interesting issue. Why is it that women can't go topless and men can? And I think that goes back to our traditional notions of what is offensive or what is scandalous and those types of things. But again, should we be thinking about traditional things, or should we be thinking about equality? And, you know, the Supreme Court is a very conservative body, and maybe they just didn't believe that this was an important enough issue to weigh in on.
Not yet, anyway.
Not yet.
A lot of people are talking about Marriage Story, and I haven't seen it yet, but it apparently portrays divorce lawyers in a bad light, and I know you have a take on this. What does this make you think about?
Yeah, I actually had a client tell me that I had to watch it because you don't want to be one of those lawyers, so of course I did have to watch it, and it is a good movie, but it's disturbing, Bob, because it doesn't really talk about a breakdown of a relationship. It talks about the breakdown of a relationship during a divorce, and only because of the divorce, it seems. So you have these two parties who, Scarlett Johansson and Adam Driver, they seem like they're getting along. You know, they're going to deal with their child and everything's going to be fine, until the lawyers come in and start stoking the fire and creating expectations that are maybe unreasonable, and kind of pitting the two against each other in a way that, I'm not going to do a spoiler here, but, you know, in a way that doesn't end very well. And it's kind of true. Sometimes lawyers in these situations do exactly what this movie says they do.
Are you a proponent of mediation instead?
Yeah, I think that's a great thing, and it usually works. It doesn't always work, but, you know, you kind of need lawyers on both sides, because once you go into mediation, you kind of have to know what your rights and your obligations are. Once you're informed of that, then you can make those decisions. So you do need a lawyer before mediation, just to make sure that you're well aware of those things, and that process can go really well. That process can be very, very successful, and here in Chicago, we've got some of the top mediators in the country who do this kind of work.
We're talking law with Karen Conte this morning, and let's talk a little bit about the city of Chicago. Aldermen have given preliminary approval to a total of $950,000 in settlements for three lawsuits over claims of police misconduct, but have rejected a proposed $125,000 deal with a woman who witnessed the fatal shooting of Laquan McDonald in 2014 and accused investigators of pressuring her to change her story. Why, Karen? What's your opinion on this?
You know, that's a really good question. Usually, but by the time it gets to the city council, they're always in agreement, almost always in agreement to accept, because the lawyers have litigated it and they've recommended and they've gone through the pros and cons of settling the case, the cost of trying the case versus paying the settlement. And so, I don't know, I feel like maybe they think that this is too much in regards to what actually happened to her. I mean, again, what happened, according to our allegations, is they put a lot of pressure on her to change her story to be consistent with what they wanted the story to be. But there was no harm harm to her as far as physical harm or, you know, anything that was outward. It was more like it was just a bad thing that happened. And maybe they just think this is too much. This is an overpay, and we're not going to set a precedent here for other cases where people don't like being questioned by the police and come and ask for $125,000. So they rejected it, probably going to go to trial, and we'll see what a jury does.
That's what's going on around here. And the national story in the legal department, of course, Harvey Weinstein, and they're still selecting jurors, correct?
They are. And, you know, they're having some struggles because there are protests going on. There are a lot of people who obviously know about the case, and it's taking a long time. And then we kind of all expected that.
All right, Karen Conti, more from her on Sunday night, WGN Radio from 7 to 9. Karen Conti, attorney at Conti Law. Thanks, Karen. Have a great day.
You too, Bob.
It is coming up on 10 before 7. All right, as promised and as warned, we have some lists to share with you. And first, we have the germiest hotel room places. And then we'll get to the dirtiest places in the gymnasium. Okay, are you ready for this? Some of these you've heard about when it comes to hotel rooms. The TV remote. Definitely avoid that. They say that because of the hands on the remotes and because they don't necessarily clean the remotes, that is one to avoid. Also, the bed comforter or duvet. Another of the five germiest places in hotel rooms. Drinking glasses. Many hotels now include plastic cups for their guests. If your room includes glasses, though, they say wipe them down before drinking from them, especially if those glasses are kept in the bathroom. A recent study confirmed that flushing the toilet can contaminate many other surfaces nearby. And, ice buckets, they say, also might require a decent cleaning, too.
Oh, forget about the ice buckets.
Yuck.
Yeah, because nobody really ever washes those, I wouldn't think. I mean, oof.
One study found that 11 of 15 hotels tested across the country did not remove dirty glasses from rooms for additional cleaning. How about the lamp or the light switch? Think about that. The same research team that discovered bacteria on TV remotes, also on the bedside lamp switch in many hotel rooms. Similarly, light switches, especially in the bathroom, prone to collecting bacteria because of the many hands that touch them. Housekeeping materials are also on the list. The University of Houston-led research team found that in addition to the remotes and lamp switches and toilets, the housekeeping carts themselves harbor lots of bacteria. Yuck. All right, you ready for the gym now? Okay.
Oh, man.
How to stay healthy while avoiding the dirtiest places at the gym.
This will get everybody to go with their New Year's resolutions to work out. Yeah.
It's a good excuse for staying out of there. Numerous studies have shown that gyms can be a breeding ground for those cold and flu viruses, as well as E. coli, MRSA, and other bacteria and virus strains that can quickly make you sick and take you out of your day-to-day routine. According to one nurse practitioner who looked at this at the University of Alabama, the biggest thing about the gym is there are a lot of areas where germs, viruses, and fungus can be year-round. The worst places, the handlebars on elliptical machines, treadmills, bicycles, and weight machines. They say even if the handlebars are cleaned regularly, handlebars are going to be covered in bacteria. On top of that, many people assume the machines have been cleaned after each use, but that is often not the case. It's best to clean the machines on your own before and after each use.
Or wear gloves.
Yeah, okay. They say you need to use wipes or a disinfectant spray to wipe down the machines or weights before and after. Once you clean the equipment, hang your towel on an area that you know is clean. When you get done, clean it again for the next person. I've seen more and more people do this in gymnasiums, haven't you? The places we go to clean up could also be dirty, including the towels. Something that people may also assume are clean are the towels that gym patrons grab when they walk into the facility. While the towels have been washed, a lot of gyms use the same container to carry dirty towels to the washing area and then use the same one to bring clean towels back so they can become contaminated again. Researchers recommend bringing your own clean towel to make sure you avoid contamination with the germs from dirty towels. In addition, it's important to always wash your towel after each workout. Page two. Locker rooms and showers are other unsanitary places at the gym. It's important to protect your feet by wearing shoes in all areas of the gym, but especially in bathrooms. If you sit down, make sure a clean towel is placed on top of the bench or seat. Walking barefoot in locker rooms or showers is an easy way to contract MRSA or pick up a fungal infection like athlete's foot. By wearing clean shoes, you can prevent catching something that's spread by skin contact. Staying hydrated is key when participating in physical activities. While using reusable water bottles is recommended and good for the environment, it is important to always wash them after every use. And don't keep the water bottles in your car, because if it heats up this time of year, it could, if you have any sunshine, but especially other times of year, that's not good. The plastic ends up in your water. Some people use the same water bottle each time they go to the gym. If you don't take it home and wash it, and you go to the gym a few or several days a week, the water bottle could be covered in bacteria. They say soap and hot water are the best ways to wash the bottles after each visit to the gym. If you're tempted to keep your sweaty clothes on, experts say you may want to reconsider. As soon as you leave the gym, you should change clothes as soon as possible. A lot of people continue to wear their sweaty clothes for an hour or hour and a half. Well, I wear it all day. It's important to take those off and shower as soon as you can after a workout. And finally, gym bags. Often the most overlooked germ carriers. Think about it. They tote around dirty shoes, clothes, and water bottles, but are rarely cleaned. To prevent the spread of germs, it's important to always spray the bags with a disinfectant spray to kill the bacteria. This is recommended after each use if possible, but at least a few times a week for frequent gym goers. While most people know that door handles, bathroom knobs, and faucets are contaminated, it's important to use paper towels to turn off faucets and open the door after washing your hands. Well, one way I keep limber and stretched out is I use my foot to do a lot of that.
You're very flexible.
By following the tips we have mentioned, along with an overall healthy lifestyle, you can help ensure that you are boosting your immune system and you stay in optimal condition all year long. Okay. Have we learned anything?
Yeah, live in a bubble.
And also, don't listen to the radio when somebody's reading a list of the worst places in hotel rooms and gymnasiums, right? Coming attractions here on your radio, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Class of 2020. We'll pass that along to you. That is scheduled to be released in just a few minutes. And also, there's a list of the 25 most expensive zip codes in the Chicago area. How is your neighborhood doing real estate-wise? We'll get to that after all of this. Ten minutes after 7, good morning. They just announced the class of 2020 for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in the performer category. It's Depeche Mode, the Doobie Brothers, Whitney Houston, Nine Inch Nails, the Notorious B.I.G., and T-Rex. And then they're honoring a couple of people with the Ahmet Erdogan Award, John Landau and Irving Azoff, who actually went to school down in Champaign. So there's your Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees. 35th Annual Rock Hall of Fame ceremony is in May. It's May 2nd in Cleveland. And they're going to broadcast that live for the first time. It'll be on HBO on May 2nd at 7 o'clock Central Time. This is interesting. There's a note here that tickets go on sale to the public on February 27th. And tickets a couple days before that, on February 25th, will go on sale to Rock Hall members. You think if you're a member, you'd get a free ticket, but I guess not. So Congratulations to Depeche Mode, the Doobies, Whitney Houston, Nine Inch Nails, Notorious B.I.G., and T-Rex. Everybody approve of those artists?
Have a serious problem.
T-Rex?
Yeah. I think they're getting to...
Why don't I know what they sing? Am I that out of it? What?
T-Rex?
Yeah, what did they do?
Well, I remember playing a big hit of T-Rex. What was it? Bang a Gong, I think. Was that it?
Oh, that's T-Rex.
Yeah, Bang a Gong.
Yeah. Uh-huh. They one-hit wonders?
Yeah, you know what? It seems like as the years go by, you know, they're running out of people to put in the Rock Hall of Fame. Why don't they just announce, everybody's in. Come on down. You're all in.
Have you been to the hall?
No, I have not.
It's worth it. I mean, it's really...
That's what I hear.
Yeah, it's pretty good. So plan a trip to Cleveland.
Hey, why not? It should be in Chicago, really, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But, you know, I guess they put it in Cleveland because a legendary pioneering rock and roll disc jockey who supposedly coined the term rock and roll, Alan Freed, is from Cleveland. So that's why it's there. They have a Radio Hall of Fame exhibit there, I think, don't they?
They do, yeah.
Landecker's in there, I know.
I'm trying to remember.
Yeah. And not to be confused with the other National Broadcasting Hall of Fame,
right,
which was in Chicago, but now I think it's in New York. I don't know.
But they have a lot of cool stuff there. I mean, it's really worth it. Even if you're not a diehard rock and roll fan, I think you should check it out if you're out there.
Yeah, that's what everybody tells me. I need to do that. Is there any other reason to go to Cleveland?
Sure.
I guess that's...
a nice town.
Well, the ballpark's supposed to be nice there for the Indians, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Cubs liked it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We like it. For extremely local news, we check in with the Block Club Chicago folks, chief editor and co-founder Seamus Toomey with us today. Good morning, Seamus. How you doing?
Good morning, Bob. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk first about a part of Chicago that normally you don't get much good news out of, Englewood. And something good happened there. Was it last night?
It was last night. I found it somewhat extraordinary when we heard back from our reporter, Maxwell Evans, who covered it. Englewood has, and I don't necessarily think this is a good thing, but they are represented by five separate aldermen, which is in the city is very odd. Normally, one alderman gets a neighborhood, takes care of everything that needs to be done there. Englewood is split up into five, so there's a lot of finger pointing of whose is this. I don't know who this is. I don't know who to go to, and they had never all these particular five had never all hosted a meeting together to get everyone on the same page to talk to all the residents about neighborhood-wide issues, not just stuff in their little corner. So I always tell reporters, hey, the story is not, you know, a meeting was held. Don't write the story like a meeting was held. But, as I was reading it last night, I thought, you know, this was kind of the story, is that all these guys got into the same room and 500 people turned out for it. For, you know, you've been to community meetings, you get 500 people. I mean,
that's amazing.
That's amazing. It could be unwieldy, but it was a 2-hour question and answer period where they just went through all, you know, as many concerns as they could answer. It was a lot about how to bring in economic development, how to use some of these city funds that are supposed to be funneled to the south and west side, how to actually get them in the hands of people who live in the neighborhood and help with jobs. So it was, by many accounts, it was a very productive meeting, and a lot of people got to meet the people that they've been sending to city council year after year.
So, five aldermen, you said?
Five aldermen. I can rattle them off. It's Roderick Sawyer, Ray Lopez, Stephanie Coleman, David Moore, and Jeanette Taylor. A couple of them are brand new as well, so that was part of the impetus behind this. We've got some new progressive candidates on the city council that really want to get out there and make some real change.
And if you get 500 people coming to a community meeting like this, those are folks who really care and want to do something and want to change, obviously.
Exactly. You could tell there's like a lot of pent-up excitement and anticipation to get out there and ask some hard questions for these elected officials. So it was interesting.
Let's hop around to a couple of other neighborhoods now. A lot of folks are familiar with the Heartland Cafe. They've gone there, and it's gone, isn't it?
It is gone. It was knocked down last April. It had stood in Rogers Park, right near the Morse Red Line stop, for 40 years. It had become a sort of a Rogers Park community hub. It embodied a lot of the values of Rogers Park folks, that, or at least that they like to think. It was sort of like a hippie hangout a little bit. I mean, I used to love going there in my younger days, and you know, they would have bands there at night.
It was there a long time.
Yeah, 1976, and it had been sold once towards the end, and the folks that bought it eventually just said, you know, we're not making a go of it anymore. Let's knock it down and sell it for, what else? Apartments. You know, you can't get enough apartments near transit, because you can get some good deals to build these. You don't have to build in parking spots anymore. So anyway, not going over great in the community. They had this beloved cafe, and now they've got just a big construction site. The guy that bought it wanted to build a six-story building with 60 apartments in it. He presented it to the community, did not go over well. But we just heard this week that he's cut the thing in half. It's still pretty tall. It's five stories, but it's down to 30 units. The footprint is not as big, and from what we heard from the neighbors, it's a little they're a little happier about it. But listen, they're not getting their Heartland Cafe back, so they're never going to be totally pleased with it. But the good news is the owner of the Heartland, Tom Rosenfeld, keeps saying he hopes to reopen it somewhere else. So we haven't heard exactly where, but my guess is it would be Rogers Park, and it'd probably be, who knows, maybe in the basement of this place.
Hey, that would be a good idea. So the Heartland may not be dead. There's still hope for fans of that cafe.
Exactly.
And talking about restaurants, and we were kind of laughing about this here the other morning, but apparently people want a vegan deli, don't they?
Right. I know my colleague Jen Sabella and you were laughing about this last week. This is an all-vegan Jewish deli in Uptown, and it sounds like an oxymoron, but apparently, Bob, your listeners must really like vegan delis, because this place sold out. It opened on a Thursday. By the end of the day, Friday, they were sold out. They had to shut down last weekend because they had no more food to sell.
Really? So. We like delis. I'm not so sure about a vegan deli, but I guess there are a lot of people who want to be healthy and eat at a deli.
You know, eggless egg salad, you know, meatless, you know, chicken, the meatless pastrami I'm fascinated by. I will, when they restock it, they're back open this weekend. When they restock it, I think I might try that one. We'll see.
So they're closed right now?
They are closed right now, which is, you know, a good and a bad thing. You know, it's great that, you know, 400 people showed up the first day. Not great that that you couldn't keep it going. But, you know, that's the sort of, you can't beat that kind of press that, you know, that it's like the Popeye's chicken sandwich. You know, if you can't get it, you want it more.
Yeah, right. I've said many times, if I ever open up a restaurant, I'm going to hire some kids, probably. You know, some college folks, to just be in line around the block all the time, right?
Exactly. And Block Club will come out and cover it.
Yeah, well, sure.
What's
right.
This new phenomena?
Or I announce that I'm going out of business, and then people will want to come in before I close up.
And then a week before the closing date, you say, hey, I've been spared. I've decided the community interest has spurred me to keep it going. Thank
and
you
you'll
for
cover that, too.
Yes, thank you for all the donations.
All right, so when they restock and reopen, Friday they're going to be back in business? Sam and Gertie's? Is that it?
Yes, I'm sorry, I didn't mention the name. Sam and Gertie's, they're reopened on Friday. They're at 1309 West Wilson. Andy Kalish and his wife Gina run the place, as well as several other vegan spots on the stretch. Vegan Row, they call it.
Okay, got it. It's Seamus Toomey from Block Club Chicago. Always like the extremely local news report, Seamus. You have a good day.
You too.
Thanks for coming in. It is coming up on 7:26. We've got a list of the 25 most expensive zip codes in the Chicago area, and also some more restaurant news to share with you. Something on your mind? I haven't mentioned these addresses yet this morning, so here they come. The phone number and the text number, it's the same, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. And if you'd like to email us, we have a new address set up for the show, and it's simply Bob Show. at WGNradio.com. And there's a BS in the middle of that. Bob Show at WGNradio.com. How's your zip code this morning? There's a list out now, the 25 most expensive zip codes in the Chicago area. According to real estate website Property Shark, of the 10 most expensive zip codes in the entire Chicago area, 6 are North Shore communities, 3 are Western suburbs, and 1 is in the Loop. Kenilworth zip code 60043 is number 1 at a median sales price of $1.24 million. Bill Gill, manager for Baird & Warner's Naperville branch, and a real estate veteran of 32 years, is quoted in this article saying, there are multiple reasons why the most expensive zip codes are what they are. Those reasons include consistency in housing, schools, crime rates, and cost of living. Want to hear some of the others? In Chicago proper, the Loop's 60603 zip code had the highest property sales prices last year with a median of $570,000. 60603 is not that big, but it's in the Loop, according to the real estate experts. And 60614, covering parts of Lincoln Park, the Old Town Triangle, DePaul, and Bucktown, takes second place in the city with a $505,000 median sales price. You're giggling there.
I used to live in that zip code. Trust me, there wasn't anything valuable about the place where I live.
Well, how long ago was that?
Now it's been 30 years.
Okay, there you go. 60622, which includes Wicker Park and Ukrainian Village, comes in third in Chicago with a median sales price of $485,000. Fourth was 60604, and fifth, 60654. So on the list of Chicago's 25 most expensive zip codes, you have 60043 Kenilworth and 60093 Winnetka and 60022 Glencoe in the top three. And then you have, following those three, 60029, 60091, 60026, and then out in Western Springs, up near the top of the list there, 60558. Okay, that's that list. Have another list to share with you that the Sun-Times and Eater Chicago put together of the year's most exciting restaurant openings. There's one that's really interesting that caught my eye. Actually, two I want to tell you about that you'll want to hear about. And also some other interesting news about a very popular chain launching a to-go restaurant and closing down what was a downtown staple for many, many years. And a very famous restaurateur in Chicago heading up to the north suburbs. As promised, some restaurant news you can use. The Eater, which is a pretty interesting site that covers food in Chicago, came out with a list of their most exciting openings, what they're looking forward to most this year. And a couple caught our eye. Remember Ed DeBevick's? Over there on East Ohio Street, the legendary Raucous Retro Diner, launched by Rich Millman in 1984, plans to finally bring its side of sass back to downtown Chicago in this year. Fans of the ever-popular Relic have been waiting for a new location after it closed in River North a few years ago, and its home of 31 years was demolished. Wow, 31 years. Well, dreams are being realized now since ownership confirmed the new off-Mag Mile location a few months ago. They're being tight-lipped with additional details, but have announced plans to open sometime this year. And Nobu, finally going to be opening in Chicago on West Randolph in the West Loop. They first announced about 5 or 6 years ago that they were coming to town, then delayed it because of funding and construction, but 2020 appears to finally be its year in the West Loop. Chicago may not have as much eye candy as the glitzy sushi dens on the West Coast, but Midwest folks should be satisfied with this new hotel and Japanese restaurant, along with a rooftop bar on Randolph, 954 West Randolph, there on Randolph Restaurant Row. And, you know, Robert De Niro is part of the company here. Their website predicts a spring opening. However, we have heard dozens of dates announced over the last 6 years, so we'll believe it when it actually happens, but it's supposed to. And did you ever go to P.F. Chang's? Their downtown location is no more, but Chicago will soon be home to the first ever P.F. Chang's to go, an extension of the Chinese-American restaurant chain that will focus solely on carryout, catering, and delivery. The first to-go location will open February 3rd at 213 West Hubbard Street in River North, and that will open just a few weeks after the closing of Chang's last traditional restaurant in the city, which was a fixture in River North for 20 years. I didn't even realize it closed, but it just closed a few days ago. The restaurant's closure was attributed to a non-renewable lease, and it played a large part in the decision for the first to-go shops to open in Chicago. There are four other P.F. Chang's in the area that still are open and offer in-house dining in Lombard, Northbrook, Orland Park, and Schaumburg. The company has 219 sit-down restaurants nationwide and 100 more in 25 other countries. And I don't know whether you know the name of Glenn Kiefer, but a lot of people do. He's a longtime River North restaurateur who ran Kiefer's and Kiefer's Cafe. He's getting back into the local restaurant scene after a five-year hiatus, and he's actually not coming into the city. He's going to be up north opening a big restaurant, 5,200 square feet, and he's going to do it up in Wilmette. It's going to be called Sophia, a suburban steakhouse, and he's going to have steaks and fillets and New York strips cooked in a special 1,800-degree infrared steakhouse broiler and finished with compound butter. Steaks will be the centerpiece of the menu, but seafood options also available. And it's let's see if it says exactly when they're going to be opening. They are going to be open this year up in the north suburbs. So Kiefer getting back into business. Looking to see here if he's got an exact date here, but doesn't say here. After selling steaks for almost 40 years, he says it's kind of second nature to me. So there you go. Little restaurant news on this Wednesday, January 15th. Oh, you know what else I wanted to talk about today? This is a date that is important in sports history. And Dave, I don't know whether you are familiar with this, but
coming up with the calendar. Okay, let me see here. This is January the
January 15th, 1967.
1967.
Got any guesses?
January 15th. I'm not sure. I don't know.
First Super Bowl. The very first Super Bowl.
Okay, I thought it was probably something Chicago oriented.
Well, close. Green Bay, of course, in the first Super Bowl, they beat the Kansas City Chiefs 35-10. And if I'm remembering this right, that first Super Bowl may have been on two different networks.
It was. It was on, I believe, NBC and CBS both carried the first Super Bowl. Of course, back then, CBS had the NFL and NBC had the AFL.
Right, right. Yeah. And on this day in 1967, the first Super Bowl. Now, we've got the next Super Bowl coming up in 2 weeks, right?
A couple of weeks. February the 2nd, I believe. It's that first Sunday in February.
And talking about football, Ed Sprinkle and Jimbo Covert, both selected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. How about that? And good news for Blackhawks fans. This kid, Kubalik, looks like a star, and he helped the Hawks to their second win in a row last night, didn't
he? Yeah, they got a nice win. They've been pretty good on the road. I mean, that's something that has, I think, been during this recent surge, going back to, like, December, they've played well away from home. And now if they could just kind of get more of these games at home, They'll be able to make a run here, but they've won 5 out of 6 on the road, and they got another road game tonight in Montreal.
And what about the future of Corey Crawford? Reading about that today in the sports sections, how he's kind of become the backup, and at his age and with his contract, will he be in Chicago for a few more years or not?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be one of the questions that we'll be finding out over the course of the next several months, I guess. But again, they've got to figure out what's going to happen with Crawford. Is Robin Leonard here long term? He certainly seems worthy of it. He's played very well for the Blackhawks. So, you know, Crawford's had a great career for the Hawks. So, tough calls.
He's playing tonight for sure.
He'll play tonight against Montreal, team that he's 9-2-2 against Montreal in his career, against his hometown team.
Yeah, he's playing in front of a lot of family and friends there, isn't he?
Yeah, he's had some great games there.
And what next in Major League Baseball with the scandal that is now focusing on Boston, isn't it?
Well, it's focusing on Boston, and the other part of it is Carlos Beltran, because he's the manager of the Mets, and he was the only player whose name appeared in the report issued by the commissioner on Monday. And just to have his name in print, that and now he's the manager, first-year manager with the Mets. The Mets weren't directly involved in this, but do they want to even be associated with it? So that's, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they react to it.
But yeah, it's
there's a lot of heat still coming down on the owner of the Astros, Jim Crane, who seems like he gave them he got rid of his general manager Luno, and he got rid of the manager AJ Hinch, gave up $5 million, gave up some draft picks, but sort of washed his hands of it in the sense that he wasn't the one to blame.
Right.
But if you're holding the general manager accountable because it was on his watch, well,
yeah, it's on the owner's watch.
Wouldn't that apply to the owner? And that's, I think, what's got a lot of people puzzled.
Well, I guess the argument is he had no idea what was going on.
The general manager says he had no idea what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, but what the
but he should have.
Well, he should have, and everybody should have who's involved, and that's something that people have to be held accountable, and that's something the commissioner said he would do, but he apparently didn't hold the owner accountable.
Well, all right, more to come on that. And also on entertainment reporting today, we will cover the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame class of 2020. That's been announced. And by the way, Glenn Kiefer's place up north is going to open this spring. Dean Richards has a day off, but we will cover the world of entertainment with a senior correspondent from Daily Mail TV, Alicia Quarles. That's coming up after our 8 o'clock news. And we'll talk about Meghan Markle, latest from that story. And let's see, we have some Netflix news, too. Stand by for that. Well, 11 minutes after 8 o'clock, Dean Richards has the day off. So, covering the entertainment world for us is the senior news correspondent for Daily Mail TV. Good morning, Alicia Quarles. How are you doing today, Alicia?
I'm well. How are you?
Well, good. Before we get to Meghan Markle, we did want to mention that the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame announced the nominees, the class of 2020, and the latest inductees are Depeche Mode, the Doobie Brothers, Whitney Houston, Nine Inch Nails, the Notorious B.I.G., and T-Rex. Any of your favorites on that list, Alicia?
You know, this list, I'm really excited for Notorious B.I.G. His mother really has campaigned for many years for him to be included into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You know, after his death, she wanted to change the narrative of his life and not leave it with somebody that was killed by gun violence, but really focus on the music. So I think that was an exciting one. And also, this year, only 3 women were on the ballot, the final ballot, to be inducted. So Pat Benatar was left off, but Whitney Houston made the cut. And I'm shocked that Depeche Mode wasn't on there before.
And the ceremony is May 2nd in Cleveland. And this year they're going to broadcast the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame live for the first time.
They're going to broadcast it live on HBO. You know, usually they slice and dice and edit it and they broadcast it later. But this time we all can get in on the action as it happens.
Okay, that'll be coming up on May 2nd. Big story of the day, and you folks at Daily Mail have the exclusive on this. A little more insight into what's going on in the world of Meghan Markle. What's happening here?
Well, our exclusive is about the support she does have. While the Queen might have been caught off guard with their announcement, Meghan's mother, Doria Ragland, who lives in Los Angeles, has supported her daughter fully and encouraged her from the start, saying, listen, your mental health comes first. Meghan has indicated she was dealing with some postpartum depression. After the birth of their son, Archie, she was dealing with a hard time with the media in the UK. And her mother said, do what you have to do to live your life and make sure that you're healthy and your family's healthy.
This is quite a story, and you know, I don't know about you, but I kind of feel for these two. I mean, it's really hard to be in that spotlight, and after what happened to Diana, you can understand what they're doing. Although there are some stories that say that you know, Meghan is the one leading this, that it's not really both of them will feel the same way. What is your reporting picking up?
Picking up exactly what you said, but it's both of them feeling this way. I've interviewed Harry before. I know Meghan. You know, at a certain point, you have to not let history repeat itself. And, you know, Harry was never, he's the heir and the spare. He's the spare. There's no likelihood he'd ever be the king. And so he chose to get out and choose his family and not let the same thing destroy his mother, destroy his own family and his new wife.
Continuing our entertainment report, Alicia Quarles, senior news correspondent for Daily Mail TV, filling in for Dean today. Meghan Markle isn't the only one on the move. Where's J-Lo going, Alicia?
Well, J-Lo has said that she wants to take it abroad and move to Italy, specifically Bologna, Italy. I've actually spent a lot of time there. It's where the world's first university is. It's beautiful, it's quaint, it's small, and she says her dream is to sit back, you know, look at olive trees, just relax. That's the opposite of the J-Lo we've come to know.
And I imagine she still will be spending a lot of time in New York and Los Angeles, won't she?
Absolutely. She's from the Bronx, and so is her fiance, Alex Rodriguez. Between them, they've got 4 children, and you know, J-Lo might want to take a pause from everything. She was just snubbed, a lot of people think, from the Academy Awards from her role in Hustlers. But despite that, she had a big year. She got engaged, a lot going on, but New York is where her home is.
And it is the award season, and I guess next up would be the Grammys on January 26th, right?
Grammys are up next, and we just found out that Aerosmith will now be performing at the Grammys. They'll be doing a career medley, and they'll be joined by Run-DMC. So now earlier we were speaking about inductees into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. These are two, you know, icons that are already in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So it's going to be excellent to see them perform together. Also, Billie Eilish will be there, Lizzo, Blake Shelton, Gwen Stefani, Ariana Grande, and Alicia Keys will be hosting in the Staples Center on Sunday.
Rapper Akon has signed an interesting deal, and they're giving him quite a bit here, aren't they?
They are. This is interesting. So Akon is actually born in Ohio, but he's getting his own city in Senegal in Africa. So it's going to be called Akon Crypto City, and cryptocurrency that he's come up with is going to run the city. It's going to be on the coast, 5 minutes from the new international airport. You know, Akon's done a lot for Africa, bringing in solar power. So this is a big deal, and he's pledged a lot of money to Senegal, so they rewarded him by saying, hey, have your own city.
Yeah, not a bad deal. I have to talk to my agent about that. There's a show on Netflix. I haven't seen it, but people say it's incredible, and they're coming on for more. And this program is called You, Y-O-U. What's it about, and what's going on with that show?
Okay, by the time we speak next, I need you to binge watch at least season one.
Okay.
It is that good. So it stars Penn Badgley. It's loosely based off of Ted Bundy, you know, this character that women love. They thought he was a man, all-American boy next door, but really he's a serial killer. So it's in its second season, and it was just announced it's going to have a third season. So it's excellent. We love it. Season three is going to be phenomenal.
Are you a Jeopardy fan, Alicia?
Jeopardy fan. Are you a Jeopardy fan?
I'm not, but I was reading about the greatest Jeopardy champion of all time. It's Ken Jennings, isn't it?
It is Ken Jennings. So the greatest champion of all time is Ken Jennings. He's called the GOAT. And so he was in the game's first ever greatest of all time tournament on Tuesday night. And Alex Trebek basically handed him his trophy and crowned him the best ever.
$1 million. Not a bad day's work.
Wow.
Not a bad day's work. Ken is so winning. And, you know, it's just nice to see him get that $1 million. He's beloved. And also, Alex Trebek, with him going through the cancer, you know, he's an American icon. So to see the two of them together, it's a feel-good moment.
How about that? Okay. Alicia's on Daily Mail TV. Check your local listings or visit DailyMailTV.com. Thanks for being with us. We'll talk to you down the road because Dean's got some time off, so we appreciate Alicia Quarles being with us here from Daily Mail TV. Have a good day, Alicia.
You as well.
And let's quickly check in with Dave Bennett on sports because we got some good news today regarding the Bears and the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Dave?
Well, they've been revealing this centennial class. We mentioned at the top of the hour that Jimbo Covert is among those named to this special class this year. And they've been doing this kind of piecemeal, Bob, on the weekend on Saturday night at halftime of the playoff game on CBS. Bill Cowher, who works for that network, was surprised on set by the head of the Hall of Fame, Dave Baker, who told him that he was included in this class. And then Sunday they did that on Fox with Jimmy Johnson at halftime of the Packers-Seahawks game. And then this morning on a live telecast, they've been revealing more names. Jimbo Covert, who will, by my count, become the, let's see, he would be the sixth a member of the 1985 Bears, including Mike Ditka. Of course, Ditka didn't go in because of his contributions as a coach in 85. He went in as a player. But if you look at that team, even Jim Finks, the general manager's in the Hall of Fame, and he put that team together. But Jimbo Covert, left tackle of the 85 Bears, chosen to the Hall of Fame. Also, Ed Sprinkle, who was a fearsome defensive player back in the 40s and 50s and called the meanest man in football with the Bears. He goes in. So also, Alex Karras is on the list. Alex Karras is a Chicago area native, Northwest Indiana, I believe, but, of course, played for the Lions. We mentioned him the other day in relation to Paul Hording. We were talking about the baseball stuff, and, of course, he had a very successful career as an actor
on television, doing football.
What was the show he was on with Webster?
Yeah, too,
right.
Oh yeah, Webster. Right.
He was on Monday night, but he was on Monday Night Football. He was in Blazing Saddles.
Yeah,
right.
Quite a career.
Yeah, so he's in the Hall of Fame. Harold Carmichael, who is, I had to be the tallest wide receiver ever to play the game. He was like almost 7 feet tall, I think. He was about 6'8", and he played for the Philadelphia Eagles, so they're all part of that class. But good for Jimbo Covert. He was, I think, if you looked at that class, if you looked at the Hall of Fame, you looked at the 85 team, Jay Hilgenberg seemed like a guy worthy of enshrinement, and Jimbo Covert seemed to be the most glaring omission from that team. But you can only have so many guys, I guess, from one team, and that works against you sometimes.
So they will be celebrating the Hall of Fame centennial class in Canton, Ohio, September the 16th through the 19th. All right. Good news for Bears fans this morning. We've got good news for any married folks because we have our love counselor with us, a little marriage counseling. That's coming up after our 8:30 update right here on WGN. You have a relationship question? Well, if you do, we might get to it because we have our dating app expert Bella Gandhi with us after the news. And if you'd like to get in on it, 312-981-7200 for dating or marital questions.
Now with WGN Sports, here's Dave Ennett.
Pro Football Hall of Fame added 13 more members today as part of its centennial class. Among them, two Chicago Bears, Ed Sprinkle and Jimbo Covert, left tackle of the 1985 Super Bowl champs. He becomes the fifth member of that team to gain enshrinement in Canton. We bring in one of those guys, Dan Hampton. Hamp, we've talked about Covert being kind of a glaring omission now. I know he gets his due finally.
Well, thank you for having me on, Dave. Yes, you're exactly right. Look, you know, a lot of folks, you know, I guess in their schedule of events, you know, an offensive tackle is, you know, being snubbed by the Hall of Fame is way down. But this is a really, really good thing. And, you know, part of the reason why that team was so dominant, been voted greatest team of all time, which we had a lot of great players, a lot of positions. Well, nobody was better at their craft than Jimbo Covert. And so finally, it is fantastic that he does gain the notoriety and honor of being inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Hamp, what made him so good?
You know, a lot of people, they have quickness. A lot of people have strength. He had everything. And I'll never forget Jim Osborne was in his 13th year, and we're scrimmaging down in the dungeon of Lake Forest in a training camp drill, and I'll never forget after we came out after about a 15 play grueling session, Ozzie's eyes are great big, and Ozzie had played against everybody, and I said, "What's the matter, Ozzie?" He goes, "Oh man, that rookie Covert just hit me. I've never been hit so hard. I came up off the ground." And at that moment, I said to myself, hey, we got something special. And you know what? He did it to Lawrence Taylor. He did it to the best of the best. He definitely, the reason he hasn't been in the Hall of Fame before now was he only had about an 8-year span of playing, you know, seasons. So most, you know, the rule of thumb is you got to play 10 years, unless you're Gale Sayers. And now, well, guess what? Jimbo Covert. They defy that rule of thumb, and he's in, and I couldn't be happier for him.
Will he be there for the ceremony?
Absolutely. And Ed Sprinkle. Ed Sprinkle, I didn't know him. He played before I was born. But there was never a more gracious and wonderful ambassador for pro football, and especially the Chicago Bears, than Ed Sprinkle. We loved Ed. And we lost him a few years ago, but it's been a great day having the news of these two gentlemen now in the Hall of Fame with us.
Ham, thanks for a few minutes with us.
All right. Go Bears!
That's Dan Hampton.
From time to time, we love to bring in a relationship expert from Smart Dating Academy, Bella Gandhi, because we all need the help, whether we're dating or married. Good morning, Bella. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
I know today you're going to talk a little bit about understanding love languages. What do you mean by that exactly?
You know, it's something I think that every couple or maybe every single person who has been in a relationship understands. It's like, wow, I really wish he would tell me that I looked great more often. And he might say, I really wish you would look at the things that I do for you. And there are five typical love languages that exist for people. And knowing those and knowing what your partner needs can make your relationship a whole lot easier and better.
Okay. In 60 seconds, what's the list of five? I'm very interested in this.
Okay, I have them right here. Words of affirmation, quality time, gifts, acts of service, and physical touch.
Mm-hmm. All right, so a little bit about each one, please.
So words of affirmation, meaning some people's love languages, tell me what's good about me. Tell me something nice. Give me a compliment. Notice me and tell me, right? And that can be verbally. It can be a nice text, a nice email. Gifts, well, gifts are gifts at the end of the day. Gifts are not my love language, by the way. I don't know what. We can all discuss our love languages. acts of service, right? You know, maybe my husband will fill up my car with gas and do things for me that I might not see, but he does to make my life easier. So that's acts of service.
And the quality time, obvious.
Hanging out together.
Mm-hmm. And of course, yes, physical touch, very important.
Yeah.
Scientifically proven, right?
Exactly.
Oxytocin, is that what's
oxytocin,
released?
Oxytocin, that's right. Very good. That's mm-hmm. the attachment hormone. And mm-hmm. one of the things I tell people all the time is just to re-engage your connection with people. Sometimes we just say, bye, honey, bye, hi. Give each other extended hugs, 10 to 30 seconds, okay? And it feels like a long time, but there's something magical that happens with someone you love when you hug for just a little bit longer than normal. You get that oxytocin burst.
You know what? I'm a quart low, so during the break, can I get a hug?
Yes, a lot. You can get a two-minute hug.
All right, that's perfect. Just getting you in the mood here with this. Relationship expert Bella Gandhi with us. We're talking about love and marriage. And I know one of the things you say, Bella, is married couples should ask each other, how can I show my love more? Now, if I said that to my wife, I think she would call a doctor and wonder what was going on here. Really? You really think people will do that, will say that? Is that realistic?
You can. You don't have to. But if you want to take things up a notch and really surprise her, just say, you know what? I'm so happy to be with you. And I just want to know, is there something I could do that would make me even a better partner to you? Like, why would that? Can you imagine if she said that to you? You might go, do you want something?
Uh-huh. What's the catch?
What's the catch? Okay, uh-huh. Right. I know your car's been sputtering around lately. What do you want me to get you? So, yeah, but it's a great question to ask, right? Because it seems thoughtful and it seems like you care. It's a great question to ask.
And you say, go for three nice things every day. Say three nice things to each other every day.
Most people that I have surveyed, and I've worked with thousands of people in the last decade at Smart Dating Academy, I don't know that I have a person that I've talked to where words of affirmation, meaning hearing nice things, is not part of their love language, male or female. So what I want people to do is say three nice things to your partner every day. And what that requires you to do is something even more deep. It requires you to look for the good things that they're doing every day. So often we take each other for granted and the nice things that we do. No, now I'm going to say you have to look for them and then you have to say them to each other. It can be in a text, but just shoot for three. Heck, shoot for one.
Can we slow into it, Bella? Can
slow
we
just, into it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Like one, maybe like once a week do
yeah,
it?
Once a month. Once a monthly compliment.
If I did that once a day, my husband would say, I got to have you committed. There's something wrong with you.
You know what? There should be in the in the Hallmark section there, in the greeting card section of the store, there should be more cards that husbands can choose from to give to their wives after a fight. You know what I'm saying?
So you don't have to apologize, you just give them a card?
Well, it would be big popular category. You know,
right.
It really would. Think about that.
After the fight cards.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, here's what I've thought about a lot. You know, we've all been through this after a fight, and then we tend to be in very good behavior. So how do you kind of get in that mode of behavior before a fight, when there's not a fight? Because, as you say, and the longer you're married, the harder it is to do this. Because, as you say, we take our partners for granted, don't we?
And we are caught in the same grooves, right? We're creatures of habit. So you might have good behavior for a week or two after a fight, and then what happens? We regress into those old ways of doing things.
How come my wife never says these things to me? I have a list here of what Marianne never says to me. All right, these are things that I never hear.
And you would like to hear?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, you want to hear a few of these?
I would love to hear a few.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
I'm so glad you're saying that. I never thought of that. I love hearing you say things like that. I know you've said that many times before, but each time I hear it, it really makes me think. Of course I'll watch that with you. How about this one? That's a really interesting TV program you're watching. Can I join you?
Oh, yeah, never get that.
And I'd love to hear this in the car. This is something I've never heard from Marianne in the car. You know the best way to go. I'll just be quiet here and watch.
That's so funny.
I'm a little preoccupied over here, so I'll leave the driving to you. Oh, here's another one for the car. I'm sorry I'm always doing something on my phone and never paying attention to you. So what do you think, Bella? Huh?
I think that if you give her this list, I bet you'll get a good laugh out of it and a big hug. You'll get love language, physical touch.
You think so?
I think so.
I'm going to take this list with me at home today.
Report then. Back, Bob Surratt.
Yeah, no, I will. I don't want to leave out folks who are dating, and I know you deal with this all the time. And talk a little bit about what to do if you're feeling in a slump.
You know, it's that time of year, right? It's kind of, we're getting to the third week of January, and people have made these resolutions, and maybe you've been hearing us talking about half of adults are single, and it's the busiest month, and it's peak dating season, and maybe you just feel like you're sputtering out right now. Get yourself back into it, right? Just switch up dating apps. Do something different, because guess what? Doing the same thing over and over again is not going to get you good results. So I want you to know, tell yourself, love is going to come to me, and all I have to do is date until I find it.
Yeah, go to a different city. I went to L.A.
Oh, look at Viv. Exactly. Yeah. She crossed state borders.
There you go.
Our producer Vivian in here getting some counseling. let me just finish my list. I had two more on my list of things Mrs. Surratt never says to me. Turn on the TV. And finally, your system for doing that is unorthodox, but it works. So keep doing it.
You were really looking forward to this segment, Bob. Yes, I can tell.
Yes, these are words of affirmation, right? You want her to say, you're smart, I agree with you, that's a great idea.
Yeah, we all need that, don't we?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for thinking of that.
We all do need that. And when you engage with people in your business, Bella, well, first let's talk about married couples. Most common complaint, most common issue, most common problem everybody has?
Just this feeling disconnected, feeling busy, right? That we're just in a rut, and he's got this to do, and I've got this to do, and you've got two jobs, maybe a couple kids, sports, and you're trying to navigate all of it. So finding that time to really reconnect with each other. Schedule those date nights.
And single folks, people dating, what about them?
Go on dates. Single people complain that there's no good people left in this city. This is the third largest market, right? Chicago and suburbs have, what, 8 million people? Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, and if you think 48% of those adults are single, you've got a great pool to choose from, guys. Just look with different eyes.
There you go. And Bella, is there a place where people can get in touch with you and communicate with you and ask you questions when
yes.
you're not on TV or radio?
Just remember Smart Dating Academy. Our website is smartdatingacademy.com and at Smart Dating Academy on Instagram.
All right, we have time to just squeeze in one call here from Milwaukee. Terry, go ahead for Bella Gandhi, relationship expert. What's your question?
Well, I don't have a question, but I was just listening to the comments that were suggested, you know, things that you like to hear from your spouse. And I have this little doll at home. It's called Mr. Wonderful. And you press the stomach on this little doll, and it says all these funny little phrases, much like what you're talking about, that you wish your spouse would say. Oh, don't worry, honey. I'll just take care of the dishes tonight. You go sit down, relax.
I think we all need one of those.
What does your husband think of Mr. Wonderful?
Yeah, it's so funny because I'm listening to this and I just thought, oh my goodness, this sounds like this little doll that I have. And I just came across it a few days ago. A good friend of mine had given it to me years ago. And I thought, I'm going to hang on to this thing. It's kind of a conversation piece, you know, drag it out and, you know, somebody can relate to it somewhere.
I'm gonna get one of those. Record those lines I read.
Right, here you go, Marianne. Happy Valentine's Day. Yeah, Mr. Wonderful. Press his belly.
Thank have a good one.
You
thank
too.
You.
Thanks,
Terry. And it's Bella Gandhi, Smart Dating Academy. Thanks, Bella. You need to stop in here at least once a week.
Done. I thought every day.
Done.
Yeah, right.
AskBella.com.
We'll preview the John Williams Show and get you the news next. Well, you have your work cut out for you, John. Our broadcast was so good today. We're just replaying the program tomorrow morning in its entirety.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Don't you think people will be a little confused? Because what if the weather, the scores or something aren't the same? Is Northwestern going to have the same outcome tomorrow?
Well, they're actually not playing tonight, so that would be awkward.
Yeah. We'll do a little editing.
Might want to think about that.
Yeah, okay. We'll work on that while you're doing your show.
We did some editing. We took
highlights
more,
what?
Well, we took more of the questions from the Jeopardy Tournament of Champions, so we'll play Jeopardy again on the show. You know that nightly newscast that you're going to do out of WGN America now, News Nation, 3 hours.
Just announced today, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they described it as, let me just get the words here, impactful, educational, and unbiased. Is there an unbiased national newscast on TV? Mm. An unbiased, impactful, educational... I'm just wondering if there is a slot for that.
Walter Cronkite on YouTube?
Think about you may have to go back. We're going to talk about a lot of these things a little later on.
Thank you, John. We'll be listening. Thank you, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.